want it in overtime? I think you're going to get one.
And we are headed to overtime.
And we are through four in 60 minutes. Not enough.
Oh, my God, we're going overtime.
Yes, welcome to OT, and we will be working overtime this week. It coincides with the start of NFL free agency. The legal tampering period, based on when you're watching, when you're listening to this, may have already started. That begins at noon Eastern time Monday. Free agency and the new league year, the new league calendar, as they say, that begins at 4 o'clock Eastern time this Wednesday. Overtime here on the set with Casey Vallier, JJ Stankovic. I'm Matt Taylor. Thanks for watching along on YouTube and the Colts Audio Network. Boys, we ready? We're ready?
It don't matter if you are, because it's here. You better be.
I mean, you try to downshift a little bit the week leading up to free agency, because, oh, man, next week, it comes fast. It comes out of nowhere. Here's the setup I have. I don't know what you guys do, but I just sit on my computer and refresh Twitter.
Yep.
And okay.
And hit the home button.
Right.
Top.
I got my Schefter notifications on. I got my Rap Sheet notifications on. And here we go.
All while watching some college basketball. You got the brackets in the background. You got the
usually,
Power 5 tournaments going.
I kind of like this, by the way, because this is conference championship week now, where there's more basketball on during the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, instead of it being tournament week, where you only really got Thursday, Friday on during the day.
Great sports week. Also a great business week in the NFL. That's what's great about the NFL. I tell people all the time, if they meet me for the first time, or we're just kind of making small talk, they'll say, oh, that's cool, your job is fun, so what do you do in the off season?
Right.
And I'm like,
what off season?
What off season do you speak of? Yeah. Because the NFL is great. They market itself better than any other league. We talk about this all the time. They've got a huge, tentpole event, if you will, seemingly every month in the calendar. Obviously, the regular season speaks for itself, then the playoffs. As soon as the Super Bowl is over, 2 weeks after that, here's the combine. 2 weeks after that, here we are talking about free agency, then the draft in April, so on and so forth. So what, big picture-wise, what are you guys most looking forward to when it comes to the Colts in free agency? What is the biggest storyline you're tracking going into next week?
Well, I mean, it's we saw part of the domino fall with the franchise tag to Michael Pittman Jr., and it's one of those things that you're always going to see where that's going to fall. But ultimately, it's been a while since we've been here with a young quarterback you're trying to pair him with to develop, to see if this is our franchise guy moving forward. So there's just so much intrigue. There's so much interest that is going on that – honestly, I don't really know what I'm looking for. I'm just ready to watch whatever happens to unfold, because in some ways, this is the start of what should be a very, very interesting offseason for the Colts.
I think sometimes you learn what teams think of themselves during free agency.
Yeah.
And there are some teams out there that have, gobs of cap space, and they just need players. And then you go and you overpay a guy, something like that. And then you have the teams out there that maybe don't have as much cap space, or maybe they do, but they're very targeted, and they're trying to plug holes, and they're not trying to get over their skis. That has always been the Colts approach, right? Mm-hmm. Does that change this year with a rookie quarterback, or does the approach stay the same, and do the Colts believe they can build a contender by keeping the same kind of measured approach in free agency? Teams can go both ways on this, but what you're looking for is if there's a pivot. If there is a pivot in strategy, what does that tell you about what the Colts think of themselves, what they think of the team they have? And if there's not a pivot, does that tell you that, hey, they think, we can keep going up like this just by doing the same approach we've had in years past?
And even with the Michael Pittman Jr., tagging, if you will, if that's the right way to put it. But even with that, the Colts still have – they've got money to play with, right? Yeah. They're very good. They're very prudent in terms of how they treat the salary cap. We all know that. Mike Bloom does a great job, the Colts capologist, if you will, for lack of a better term. Chris Ballard is really, really cognizant of how much money he has now, but also helping himself later in the future. So with that in mind, you talked about it, Casey. Anthony Richardson is here. He's coming back. All of the health reports and the rehab reports continue to be very positive. But the biggest thing in terms of the business of all of this, he's still under contract as a rookie, that rookie contract. How does having him in that financial bracket help the Colts?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's so funny. When you look around the league, everybody talks about the importance of having that rookie contract. The NFL, we know, stands for not for long. There, you can't just wait. You know, that's the way the NFL rolls. So, yes, he's a rookie, but you got to start attacking now. You saw the flashes, so you can't just sit back and just say, we're going to continue to kind of let this gradually go, because there is that it's so what are you doing for me lately kind of league. So it's funny you mentioned that he's on a rookie deal, because this is the time to strike. This is the time to go out and do all those things, because, you know, you flash forward to, let's say, Anthony Richardson is the guy, and you flash forward to what that next contract could look like. I mean,
yeah, the pie
dare
shrinks.
I say, yeah. I mean, it could be a $500 million contract you're signing. I mean, that's the waters that we're continuing to go with. I mean, you look into these contracts quarterbacks are signing. So when it comes into salary cap, this is the time where you can build and add those, you know, higher end guys around them, because you're getting them at such a discounted price for that position.
Does that change the approach, lack of a better term, the aggressiveness maybe that Chris Ballard has for this team, and the sense of urgency to win now, to pair some weapons that maybe he doesn't in the past go after, knowing he's got Richardson, the dynamic playmaking ability there, and the best of all, it's pretty cheap.
The thing that I'm interested in is we've seen teams go different directions with rookie quarterback contracts, where you have had teams that have invested heavily in offense around their rookie quarterback. But I think about what the Bengals did with Joe Burrow, where obviously they drafted Ja'Marr Chase. They had T. Higgins on that roster. They went and they splurged on defense those first couple years of Joe Burrow's rookie contract, where they went out, they got Trey Hendrickson, they got, you know, the safeties Von Bell, they got Chidobe Awuzie, and they spent quite a bit of money on that side of the ball, thinking, hey, if we got our guy on offense, let's build up the defense. And it turned out that got him to a Super Bowl, and almost won him a Super Bowl, and then almost got him to another Super Bowl by having that kind of rock solid defense and believing they had the quarterback set. The flip side is you can go and spend a lot on offense.
Kind of what the Jags did a couple years ago.
Exactly. That's what the Jags did with Christian Kirk
and
Evan Ingram,
Calvin
and some of the
Ridley.
Moves.
Yeah. You know, that was a trade, yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Scherff, some of the moves they made.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go those kind of different routes, but usually it looks like investing the cap dollars that you're saving. I mean, think about the difference in paying a quarterback on a veteran contract that the Colts have done over the last couple of years versus paying what you're paying Anthony Richardson. That's, you know, you're talking $25-30 million dollars that you can reinvest in other parts of the team now. But it doesn't always mean, what I'm trying to say, it doesn't always mean you're going to invest it in offense. It could mean you can invest it in defense. It could mean a split, something along those lines.
With that in mind, let's try to predict where the splash is coming from. And splash is very subjective,
right?
You know, to what degree, you know, we'll find out, I guess, in the coming days. Because what was it last year, JJ? The Colts this week, or the first week of free agency, ended up signing seven guys last year, which was a mixture of in-house re-signings.
Right.
And then, you know, this was the week where Samson Ebicom came
Matt
in.
Gay.
You saw Taven Bryan come in. So we'll see how the different puzzle pieces, what that adds up to. Where, let's try to predict where the big splash is coming. You know, what position group. To me, I think it might be in the secondary. You know, because you've had all the youth last year with Juju Brents, played 8 games. You had Jalen Jones started 10 games. And, you know, maybe the Colts didn't do some things towards the end of the season schematically that they ideally wanted to because of the youth there. I think that's up for debate. I think only, you know, Gus Bradley and Ron Miles are going to really tell you the answer to that. I think with Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman being free agents, you know, those guys are going to be in the crosshairs this week. But maybe that's the area, JJ, where the Colts supplement in a different way that we're not thinking about when it comes to Anthony Richardson.
I think that's a really good point that you could look there. When you look at the youth of that group with Julian and Kenny, the two most veteran members of that group becoming free agents, the most experienced player then in that secondary is probably Rodney Thomas II at this point in terms of playing time.
And Dallas Flowers.
Dallas Flowers. You know, he's going into his third year, but he's only played in a handful of games.
Plus, too, he's a week 4 injury.
Right.
You know, so when is he going to be available?
And I think there's a world where you could have Kenny coming back and a splash move in the secondary where it doesn't have to be either or. But I mean, you absolutely look at the youth of that group, and that was intentional last year. The Colts intentionally went young to figure out what do you have here. And I think they came out of the year feeling pretty good about Jalen Jones, feeling confident that Juju Brents is going to be a good player if he can figure out how to stay healthy.
Right.
But safety is very much a question mark. And do you need a veteran presence at corner that isn't just Kenny Moore the second? That's going to be a really interesting thing to kind of follow here.
Yeah, I agree, because part of the reason I say this is you saw what Shane Steichen and this offense was able to do without Anthony Richardson. They were able to put up points. They were able to, you know, move the football. And you look at the team that won the Super Bowl this year, and the Kansas City Chiefs, and we all know about Patrick Mahomes. But what I think went unnoticed for a majority of their entire season, because of you have a guy like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, they're going to get the spotlight. But what that defense did, it proves that, I mean, when you can have an established offense, that's why when JJ talked about, you know, what Cincinnati has done, it's incredible when you look at what a team like Kansas City was able to do in the playoffs. And the reason they got to where they did was because of how good that defense was. I agree with you. I think that might be the route that they do go, because you did see, you have kind of a proven track record that Shane Steichen, this offense, was able to move the football, was able to put up points, and that's without probably the biggest weapon on the field. So ultimately, that's kind of, I agree with you, that the secondary is probably an area, especially when you talk about Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman, that's probably where they would address.
Well, I mean, again, if you go back to Chris Ballard's end of the season press conference, to me, the biggest bullet points that were driven into my brain were two things. And they're kind of in the same category. Offensively, we got to be more explosive. Defensively, we can't give up the big plays. Right. This it doesn't matter if Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr. and Josh Downs come back next year and they average 30 points per game, but they're giving up 32.
Right.
That's a whole lot of L's. Yep. The Colts, they just can't finish 28th in points allowed for the third straight year.
Something that also kind of piqued my interest was at the combine when Chris Ballard said, when I asked him, how does Anthony Richardson change maybe the profile of player you're looking to bring in? And he talked about he's so explosive in and of himself that you need reliable guys around him. And that was, okay, I'm going to file that away for next week. I don't know who that means you might look for on that side of the ball, but maybe that steers you away from that kind of, you know, that big splash on the offensive side of the ball. Now, if there's a guy you love, and you have to go out and pay him a bunch of money or trade a first-round pick for him, you're going to go do it, regardless of if we need reliable players, you also need great players. That's what every team
is. Reliable, explosive, yak, all of it.
Right.
Sign
but
me up.
If you can find a player who kind of fits that reliable bill and maybe doesn't cost the sticker shock of free agency, maybe that's a route that you go on offense. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about all these in-house free agents on our free agent previews. We encourage you to go back and check all of those out, all of the big high-profile free agents, the in-house guys for the Colts. We isolated in vignette form on the Colts Audio Network. But one of the guys I want to talk about specifically right now as we wrap up here on Overtime is Gardner Minshew. I've heard it talked and debated that the Colts need, they love Gardner Minshew, right? He came in and, you know, played in 16 games and you know, won 9 as a backup quarterback, but they need somebody to play the backup quarterback position on this team that has more of a skill set, more of the dynamic traits that Anthony Richardson has. You buying that?
There's two ways to look at this with Gardner Minshew in mind, because he came from Shane's system in Philly, so he was familiar with everything. But then again, you got to look at what Anthony Richardson's able to do and what Gardner's skill set is. It is different. So that circumstance makes me lean toward maybe it doesn't matter, but I think if you go a different direction, it would make a lot of sense, because ultimately you're trying to set up your offense to do one thing.
Yeah.
And it's let Anthony Richardson guide this thing however it needs to go. And if he happens to get hurt, you would like the guy behind him to be able to pick up right where he left off, essentially. So I can see that side. But then, I mean, you talk about what Gardner Minshew did. I'm not saying the offense was drastically different.
Yeah.
There are just certain things that, you know, there are limitations from an athletic standpoint that a lot of people wouldn't be able to live up to with Anthony Richardson, because he is a freak. So there's certain ways that I can see both sides of it. But I would tend to agree with that if it's not Gardner Minshew, maybe someone with a likeness of skill set.
You kind of look around what other teams have done, too, in these situations. The Los Angeles Chargers, for Justin Herbert's second and third years, they had Chase Daniel as his backup. Chase Daniel does not have a similar skill set to
Justin Herbert. No, he does not.
No offense to Chase Daniel, but well, Justin Herbert's kind of like an alien back there, and Chase Daniel's, you know, he can get the
ball
where
he needs to
go. Right,
he's a good quarterback. Damn good quarterback.
You know, but the Baltimore Ravens,
exactly.
Lamar Jackson's backup for the last couple of years has been Tyler Huntley, who is a more similar skill set to Lamar Jackson. Now, I think that was a little different with like a Greg Roman offense where you kind of it's very specialized.
Yeah.
Where Shane has shown you can kind of take it different ways. But the big thing here is, do you have that veteran who knows the offense, who can be that kind of fourth voice almost, fifth voice, whatever it may be.
Right.
That kind of peer-to-peer player voice.
Translates everything.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where Gardner Minshew was so important to Anthony Richardson before he even came in as the backup quarterback.
That's where I'm at. I don't disagree with you, Casey, but I think it speaks to more of my belief and confidence in that Shane Steichen, hey, if he's playing a game of euchre and he's got all nines and tens, he's going to win three tricks. I mean, that's what it is.
As somebody who doesn't play euchre, I did not get that reference.
You don't get that?
No, I'm a terrible Midwesterner. I haven't played euchre.
All right, after the podcast.
I'm too old to learn. We'll play. Anyways, continue.
No, it's a very easy game there, so no. But, I just think, like, if the Colts are going to routinely score 20 points per game like they did last year and finish 10th in scoring with Gardner Minshew primarily as their quarterback for most of the season – with Minshew ranking, 23rd in passer rating for the year?
Yeah.
And still being, you know, an eyelash away from the playoffs? That gives me a boatload of confidence in Shane Steichen to be able to say, it doesn't matter that Gardner Minshew and Anthony Richardson are polar opposites in terms of skills and what they can do. They can still win football games, and they can do it different ways. Our offense is obviously going to change, you know, aesthetically, it's going to change in terms of approach. I just think there's a lot of value to Gardner Minshew coming back here. Obviously, the Colts are going to have to pay. They would have to pay more this upcoming season than they did last year when they brought him in free agency. But I just think, JJ, if Gardner Minshew can't find that home that he inevitably wants, just like any quarterback in the NFL wants to be a starting quarterback in this league.
What a shot.
If in free agency he can't find that, I don't know if there's a better place for him because of how much he's valued here, how much he was showed to be just how important he was to the success of this team and the maturation process that is evolving in Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, my big question for Gardner is...
And you know you can win with him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And my question for him is if that team exists out there that says, hey, we want you to be our bridge quarterback for the next 1 to 2 years. You know, we're moving on from our starter. Maybe we'll draft a guy.
Yeah.
You know, but you also look around the free agent landscape, and once, you know, your Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfields find their homes, you've got a lot of guys who are in that same boat. You look at Ryan Tannehill, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold would be in there. Going down Tyler Huntley, you know, guys maybe more of a backup in that role.
And all the teams
Dobbs.
And all the teams that need a quarterback are probably going to do it through the draft.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, if you go and you sign with, you know, let's say the Patriots.
Sure.
Well, they're liable to take a quarterback third overall.
Yeah.
You go and you sign with the Vikings, if they move on from Kirk, and they're liable to trade up and take J.J. McCarthy, which has been a, you know, popular rumor lately. So, but, you know, you still would get that chance to start. So that's what I'm interested in, is if that market kind of dries up for Gardner and it's like, all right, you're only getting backup jobs, would he just come back to Indy with that, like, for all those reasons you mentioned, Mate,
familiarity,
the familiarity,
yeah.
The comfort here, the locker room, all that stuff.
And, you know, you hate to say this, and don't throw tomatoes at me, but it's just real. I mean, unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about the narrative of Anthony Richardson's health until not a storyline any longer, right? With, you know, only playing four games last year. Until Anthony Richardson proves he can be available every single game, you know, the backup quarterback and that position's prominence on this team is going to continue to be debated.
Look at what the Dolphins did last year, for example, where there are all those injury questions about Tua.
Yeah.
You had the concussions and, you know, and all that. And they went out and they paid a pretty decent amount of money to go get Mike White, who was kind of the top backup on the market last year. And Mike White, I don't think, started a single game this year. Tua started the whole season. So it can flip pretty quickly.
66 quarterbacks in the NFL last year started a game. Mike White was not one of them. Yeah.
It's why you say that. That's one of the things that you're still hearing those those injury concerns regarding
Tua. Sure.
And he was one of those guys that throughout the entire season was able to stay healthy.
So, hopefully we're doing overtime this time in 2025, not talking about
I hope so.
Number of snaps taken by Anthony Richardson. Talking I want to double back.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. I want to double back to the secondary just real quick. We saw right before free agency, so many safeties flooded the market because of cuts. We saw Jordan Poyer, Kevin Byard, who we saw all those years in Tennessee. All-pro Justin Simmons got the red card, if you will, from the Denver Broncos. What does that
Jamal
mean?
Jamal Adams, Quandre Diggs.
Yeah, I mean,
Eddie Jackson earlier.
So many guys. Yeah. How does the infiltration of so much talent and experience now available in free agency, how is that going to impact Julian Blackmon as he kind of sniffs around outside of the Colts?
That's a really good question. In some ways, I don't know if it's linear, but you look at kind of what Zach Moss might deal with in the running back market. When you look at the top tier guys there, I mean, some of these safeties, I mean, you talk about Jordan Poyers and Justin Simmons. I mean, some of these guys, they've been elite safeties in this league for quite a bit of time. So it is going to be interesting. The benefit I think Julian has is, you know, he is one of the younger ones that's going to hit when you look at that list.
Sure.
I know he's got the injury concerns, and that's always going to be the big red flag for Julian, and that might force him to not be one of those premier guys. So I don't know necessarily what the impact is going to be, because I think he might be one of those guys that might actually get the benefit of the doubt because he's going to be a little bit on the cheaper end compared to what you might have to pay for a proven all-pro guy, whether that be Justin Simmons or a guy in Jordan Poyer or, you know, whoever these – I mean, Kevin Byard's a guy. I mean, you talked about him. We saw what he did in Nashville for so long. So it's going to be real – those are the two positions, you know, just from, you know, us having – you know, a guy on the roster from last year who enters in that free agency realm that I'll be really interested to see where running back and safety end up for both guys in Zach Moss and Julian Blackmon, who have proven they can play at a high level. And it'll be really interesting to see what the rest of the league has to say. And they're two guys that we all know very, very well that if they come back here, I won't be disappointed at all.
There are 11 safeties scheduled to hit unrestricted free agency this week who played over 900 snaps last season.
Wow, 11?
And you could even go farther down. Let's see. Let me just count. That's 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 safeties who played over 700 snaps. So it is flooded.
With a boatload of experience.
Yeah, boatload of experience, all pros. That, you know, that list, by the way, didn't even include Eddie Jackson, who's a former all pro, Jamal Adams, who's a former all pro, Kareem Jackson, another guy who's made Pro Bowls. It is a loaded safety class this year. And I do wonder how that impacts, you know, Julian Blackmon's price out here, because there are so many safeties out there, you would think there are a lot of jobs, but also a lot of these safeties hit the market because teams decided we don't want to pay them the amount
that's
of money that we had been paying our safeties.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those positions that's, I don't want to say undervalued, but it's kind of been hit financially, maybe not to the degree that running backs have, but I do think as it relates to Julian Blackmon, I think it cools off a little bit because you have all of those new names and big names that could be available for new contracts with other teams. But also what you're reading and hearing about the draft is that the safety position of the draft, not all that deep.
Right.
Which means I think teams might be a little bit more urgent to go after some of these safeties and fill needs through free agency. And obviously Julian Blackmon is in a cluster, in a big group. But, you know, you look at the Colts. I mean, Nick Cross didn't come on until late in the year. Rodney Thomas's playing time went down late in the season. I contend, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I contend that if Julian Blackmon is healthy for week 18, the Colts win that
Agreed.
Game. Mm-hmm. I think the Colts win that game and limit all those big plays from the Texans.
Like that first one.
Nico Collins doesn't go for 75 yards on the first play, you know, from scrimmage for the Texans on offense in that game. I just think it kind of boils down to if you're the Colts and Chris Ballard, and you decide that you need to make a move at safety and free agency, and you got Julian Blackmon and some of those other guys, and you have similar experience, they're going to have a similar price tag. To me, it would be Julian Blackmon because of the familiarity, and you have the trust there. You invest in guys, you've got the trust, and you want guys that you're familiar with that you know you can go to war with and produce.
Well, and I mean, you take it from a Chris Ballard standpoint. I mean, we know how high he is on this guy. I mean, this is a guy that he took And a lot of, you know, I heard a lot of pundits out there when the draft happened that he took Julian Blackman way too early because he was coming off the injury. You could have gotten him later, but all Chris did was he just talked so highly about the type of player, the type of person. And, you know, when he gets out there, he's going to make splash plays. And, you know, we saw how quickly he came back from, you know, his college. I mean, he got hurt, I think it was in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
And he was on the field very early as a rookie. I don't remember it right off the top of my head, but, I mean, he played
and
a majority.
He came back so fast from the Achilles as well.
I mean, so you know all of that about Julian Blackman, the inside the helmet and the outside, what he does. So I would agree with you. And like I said, if Julian Blackman is back on this roster next year, I'm very, very happy about it because I love the way that Julian plays.
Right.
And I think if he doesn't have the injury concern that he's had, I think you would be putting him up right with some of those guys that are, you know, Pro Bowl talent, because that's what Julian Blackman can be if he stays healthy.
Indeed. All right, the football here is the crystal ball. All right, so the football is the metaphor crystal ball. So free agency for the Colts starts Wednesday. Again, that's when the new league year begins. Crystal ball, JJ, I'm going to throw this to you. How many guys, how many in-house free agents come back, and who are they?
Ball.
Good catch.
I think the guys I feel most strongly about would probably be Kenny Moore, Tyquan Lewis. I think Gardner Minshew comes back.
Okay.
I'll throw those three names out there. That is not an exhaustive list, but those are three guys who I feel relatively strong about. You think about their fits and the kind of Colts that they are, right?
Right.
Like, Kenny's been here for a really long time. The Colts know the value that he brings, especially as a slot corner that kind of got to play linebacker almost in this kind of a defense.
Yep.
Kenny can do that. For Tyquan, a guy who's a leader in that defensive line room.
Why would you not?
Right. He had such a great year last year. We talked about that in his free agent preview podcast. Like you really kind of looked under the hood and was like, man, Tyquan Lewis had a really good year.
Yeah.
And then for Gardner Minshew, you know, I don't know if that job materializes for him as a bridge starter. Come on back, you know, come spend some more time here. Help us develop Anthony. And if we need you to play, we know we can win with you.
Yeah.
Case. Here's the football.
So
crystal ball.
The crystal football.
I would agree with all those names except for Gardner Minshew, and I will flop that with Rigoberto Sanchez.
That's a good call.
He's a guy who you probably don't talk much about because of the position. He's a punter. But, I mean, Rigo has been through a lot of ups and downs here, but one of the things that he has been throughout has been just consistent. And I think you put him back there for not only what he does as a punter, but what he does as a holder. He's one of the best holders that is out there, and you think about that relationship from Luke Rhodes and what you have in Matt Gay, and all they talk about is how important Rigo is to that machine, and I think that's going to be the guy. I'd love to see Gardner Minshew back. I just think that he's going to find something somewhere that's going to be a little outside the price range of what they're going to bring him here. So I'll just switch out what JJ said with Gardner.
Gotcha.
Can I have one more? The crystal ball called me. Something is going to happen next week. Something's going to happen next week that is completely out of left field.
There you go.
That is going to shock.
Shake up the Colts.
Yeah. Here?
Here.
Oh, I love it.
It's going to be completely out of left field. It's going to happen, and you're going to be like, what?
Roll the tape.
So,
all right,
we'll roll the tape on this one.
Crystal
ball. Something's
going to
happen.
Like it.
It's going to be just.
Got it.
You have no idea it's coming.
See if we can do this. All right, good success right there. All right, Casey, let's see.
I also wanted to throw the ball.
I see love in your future. Let's see. You have pain in your eyes. When was the last time that you suffered heartache? Wait a minute. Hold on. I see a wide receiver. Hold on. I see a left. No, just kidding. You guys did not say Grover Stewart.
Oh.
No Grover Stewart.
Okay.
That's a very good call.
Throw him in there with mine.
Very.
Yeah, you know what? He's a fourth, Adam.
Yes.
There you go. All right, well, we can just all touch the ball simultaneously there.
It's like,
you know,
Space
like
Jam.
We're like little giants. And team. I just think when you talk about free agency, it just boils down to value and how easily replaceable are you? And that's Grover Stewart. Yeah. We saw that during his 6-game suspension. What was it? It was 4.7 yards per carry as opposed to 3.7 yards per carry with Grover. In that 6 games, the Colts gave up over 150 yards per game on average in terms of the opponent's rushing total. I like Grover Stewart. He's a no doubter to come back to this team next year.
Yeah. I agree.
Who wants it?
I failed on that one
all
for
right.
sure.
I'll take it
one
just
more.
To
one more.
Just to make sure that I can say, yeah, you want to have Grover Stewart back here.
Big Big Grove. And also I hate to say it too, but I think to your point, Casey, Zach Moss is it's gonna be real tough.
Yeah.
Just based on the roster construction, what you've invested in Jonathan Taylor. Yep. You have some up and comers to back up that position. That's the cruel reality of this business where he does everything right. Yep. Zach Moss, that is, does everything right, has a career year, balls out, has over 700 yards. I mean, the week that Jonathan Taylor came back from injury, or I should say off of PUP, that was week five, that was the game where Moss goes nuts, has a career high,
yards.
Has over 150 yards rushing in that win against Tennessee.
But you know what?
It's just I don't think it's so, it's here.
Sometimes, Maytay, that's a good thing,
right?
To say, hey, you had an opportunity to show you can be a starting running back in this league.
Right.
You're not going to be that here because we have Jonathan Taylor, but go out, earn your money, son, and get what you deserve.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of like Bobby Okereke was.
Yes.
You know, last year at this time, we all kind of talked that you've got Zaire Franklin who had, you know, a career year a year ago.
Yeah.
You had Shaq Leonard at the time, EJ Speed, and Okereke. You knew that number was going to be high because of how well he played, and it was just like, it's just part of the business side of the league. You would love to get all your guys back,
yeah.
But I think Zach Moss will fall into that same kind of mold. And I'm sure that Chris Ballard is going to just be super excited for that because, in a way, Zach Moss's career was kind of up in the air in Buffalo. He was, you know, he had been taken over essentially all the snaps, went to Devin Singletary at the time. So it was like.
And they didn't want to run the ball.
They didn't want. Yeah, I mean, it was.
There's
if
that.
He ran the football, it was just Josh Allen, and that's all they were doing. So in some ways, I mean, Zach Moss was able to kind of get a re-energized part of his career here at Indy. So
yeah,
it's pretty – if he does go somewhere else, that team is getting a really good player. We all really loved everything about Zach Moss, and sometimes it's just part of the business of the NFL.
All right, real quick before we close out, AFC South, which team are you tracking the most? Which one is most interesting?
Ooh,
I mean, the Titans got a boatload of money.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Texans are looking to add and supplement and take their offense to the next level, even more so with C.J. Stroud. The Jaguars are looking to rebound after that debacle to end the season, losing 5 of 6. The division team that is going to help itself the most in free agency. What do you think?
Well, I think the Colts, honestly. You ask who's going to help them. So I really think this Colts team is going to take that next step. But the team I'm really watching is Houston because, you know, you go out and
they're
win.
They're thinking running back.
Well, I mean.
Free agent running back.
There's
some guys available.
You talk about some running backs. There's some guys there. There's one guy in particular I'd really would like to see him leave the AFC South and not just rejoin another team. I don't want to.
I heard that today. I heard someone speculate that Derrick Henry winds up by the Texans. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Saquon Barkley,
well. That's the team I'm going to be following just because they saw success early with a rookie quarterback in that contract, and be really anxious to see what they do because all of a sudden, you know, you go from last to first, and all of a sudden now the wheels start really turning. And you talk about money. They've got some financials down there too that they can spend some cash. So that'll be the team I'm really watching because ultimately I thought last year Tennessee was going to take a dip. They did. I don't know necessarily that I think Jacksonville is going to take a dip, but they're in some financial questions with Trevor Lawrence's impending contract he's going to get and what that's going to mean for everybody else. So it's really just the Colts and the Texans I'm kind of watching.
I'm watching the Jaguars, though.
Okay.
Because of all those reasons you just kind of you kind of touched on there, what do they do with Calvin Ridley?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had to make a choice between Josh Allen and Calvin Ridley. They chose Josh Allen for the franchise tag. Do you let Calvin Ridley he's going to hit unrestricted free agency. We're taping this on Friday, so if something happens over the weekend, don't blame me. But he's going to hit unrestricted free agency. And we have seen wide receivers, when they have hit unrestricted free agency, get astronomical numbers, specifically the other guy in the Jaguars, Christian Kirk.
Right.
So the Jaguars are not a team that has a lot of wiggle room. You can make it.
Yeah.
But like you said, Casey, this is the first year that Trevor Lawrence is up for an extension.
Yep.
You got to start budgeting that out now, and how does that impact who you can surround him with? And the Jaguars are a team too. They've already cut some guys.
Yeah.
They cut Foley Fatakasi. I believe one of the corners,
Darius Williams,
Rayshon Jenkins, who's one of the safeties who's now a free agent. Like they've kind of had to shed some players. they're an interesting team because you still have, you have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
That is a guy you want to build around, yep. But how do you go about doing it with less financial wiggle room than the Colts and the Texans have? The Jaguars also, I mean, they are kind of a cautionary tale right now.
Right.
In terms of free agency spending, where for fans who want the Colts to get, let's throw all this money in.
It's good for a couple
of
years.
It'll work out.
Yeah.
It got the Jaguars a division win, a playoff win, and that's been it.
That's it.
You know, and now they're starting to shed those guys. So it's always a cautionary tale if it, you know, if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of cautionary tales, although my life is probably a cautionary tale. Just haven't hit it yet. Just waiting for that speed bump and that barricade to seal things off right there. Yeah, the Titans got a boatload of money. They got like $80 million of cap space. They got the 7th overall pick coming up. So they're a team that's, I don't know if they're going to be better, but they're going to look a whole lot different with a new head coach and a new regime there. So all of that we're going to be tracking starting this week. We got the legal tampering period. That'll start Monday at noon Eastern time, and then the free agency frenzy, all the finalizations of the legal tampering, that starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday. You got Twitter open. You got multiple screens. What are we looking at here? You're going to be like NASA this week.
Yeah, I mean,
following free agency.
Twitter on probably 3 or 4 different tabs. You forget that you have them pulled up because you're, I got to check here. I got to check here. You're looking at this guy's individual page, and then you look back at your computer and you're like, that's
he
all
got
I
paid
have
how
up
much?
Is Twitter. What's going on? Well, there's that too. But yeah, it's a fun time. I mean, I'm a big March Madness. I love college basketball and all of that that goes into it. So, for me, working in the NFL, it's a great start to March Madness because this is the madness, and it is about to be here.
Yep.
A week from now, we're going to know a lot more about what the Colts are going to look
like. Yeah, this is one of the biggest weeks of the year in terms of setting up the future. What do the Colts look like in 2024? This week is going to have a big say in that. And as free agency, or I should say as free agents come in terms of in-house guys, outside free agents, when they come in to talk, we'll have those interviews for you here on the Colts Audio Network. For JJ Stankovic, Casey Vallier, I'm Matt Taylor, Kevin Connors on the ones and the twos behind the scenes for all the YouTube folks. Thank you so much for being dialed in here on Overtime. That's exactly what we're doing the entire rest of the week as free agency starts, and we are here for you on the Colts Audio Network and on YouTube. Thanks for joining in, and as things happen in real time, come back here to Colts.com, the Colts Audio Network, and we'll have the latest for you here on the horseshoe. So long.